When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Christian McCaffrey is taking trips to Germany, and Brock Purdy is having MRIs, or one. We'll discuss what that means next on the Cone Zone. Hello, welcome to the Cone Zone, presented by the Sleeper app. We're the Cones, Grant Cone, Lowell Cone, Pair, a feast. That's French. The 49ers are having a tough time. It's early in the season, but the news is getting, well, it's cryptic. First thing is Christian McCaffrey was spotted flying to Germany to see a doctor that only he could only see there. And my dad also knows doctors, spoke to one about this situation. Dad, why don't you tell people what you learned?
Okay, I didn't actually speak to anybody. I texted. So I wrote to a doctor. Christian McCaffrey is seeing a specialist in Germany for Achilles tendonitis. What does this mean? The doctor wrote back, "That is interesting. They are known for Achilles tendon rupture surgery and rehab, but I am unaware of their expertise in Achilles tendonitis." Okay, let's linger. Let's linger on that for a minute. What he's saying is they have no special expertise, the Germans, in Achilles tendonitis. And you got to say Christian McCaffrey is near two great hospitals, Stanford and UCSF.
But they don't have the Germans.
They don't have enough Germans. But what I'm saying is they're probably all over Achilles tendonitis.
Yes.
So it leads me to speculate that this is no run-of-the-mill Achilles tendonitis, that it's certainly a lot more than people get. Because I looked up on the internet, you get Achilles tendonitis, it means you've overstressed the tendon, you put ice on it, you relax a little, you do some physical therapy, and you're supposed to be okay. It doesn't seem, I mean, I'm sure they know all about that.
It doesn't say anything about going to see the Germans.
It doesn't say that you need to see Wolfgang, or you know what I mean, to get this taken
Wolfie?
Care of.
No.
Wolfie. So we got to think that this, okay, possibly, because I don't know nothing, but I'm just hypothetically, something really, really, this is one of the worst cases of Achilles tendonitis in the history of the world, or there's something else going on. What do you think, Grant?
Well, look what happened with Dre Greenlaw last year. He had Achilles tendonitis, didn't go see the Germans, maybe he should have, tried to sort of play through it, and then eventually ruptured his Achilles tendon just jogging onto the field in the Super Bowl. So McCaffrey is acting like a guy who's very anxious or nervous that he could rupture his Achilles if he hasn't partially done so already. I was watching a video that sometimes an Achilles tendon can kind of fray like a piece of rope. So if that's what's happening with him, I could see him being scared and trying to see if there's some type of an injection or treatment that can fix something that rest won't fix on its own.
Right. He seems to be past the point of rest.
Yes.
So I think we could speculate, and we're only speculating, that what he has is a precursor to a tear, or he maybe even has a little tear. And he's gone over there because they can do better with that sort of thing than American doctors and hospitals. And Iggy, you made a very good point last night. We were talking about it. Is he trying to save his season or his career?
And that's what it seems like to me. Yeah. I mean, if you have to visit the Germans, I feel like the concern is saving your career, not necessarily saving your season. Like, Dad, how serious of an injury would you have to go seek German expertise?
I would have to. No, seriously. I mean, I have Medicare and I have a supplement and I figure they can take care of me here. We have great medical care here. So this is probably I'm going to take a cough drop, guys. I apologize.
Got to do it.
Probably. Yeah. Probably a very, very serious injury or on the verge of being a very serious injury. And, you know, Kyle is very close-lipped about things like that, which is fair. He's the coach. I probably wouldn't tell a lot either. But whatever he says, you always have to reach. You may have to read more into it. And I think this kid, McCaffrey, is fighting for his career right now. It's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. And I have no way of knowing. I don't think Christian or the 49ers do either. I just, from the way things are going, I'd be surprised if he plays again this year. He may, but I would personally be surprised. And I kind of get the feeling that part of what's going on here is not just the injury. It's the fact that the Niners gave him an extension this offseason with all, like, with new guaranteed money. And it's a bad look. So instead of just ending his season, they're saying, well, we don't know. We'll see. We'll give it a couple of weeks. He'll go to Germany. He'll come back. There's a treatment. But I think part of it is just embarrassment about giving an extension to a guy who had a pre-existing condition that's very serious.
Yeah, now they have the money. They could give the extension. But I come back to Bill Walsh. He used to say it all the time. I don't pay for past performance. I pay for what I think he could do in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think when they gave him this extension, which is $19 million a year, Iggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
$19 million a year, they were paying for past performance because I think they knew that there was some issue with his Achilles.
I would think they did. I would think he did. Maybe he had a calf injury and maybe he made it worse this offseason after he signed the extension, but I would think this is a pre-existing condition. He has guaranteed money next year as well. So he's going to be on this team whether or not he ruptures his Achilles.
What's the guarantee next season?
$8.5 million. Guaranteed, which means he's going nowhere. They're not going to pay him $18.5 million cash to go to not play football or play somewhere else.
And if, you know, you heard that management is not happy with how they spent money, well, this is the primary example of it. Iggy, isn't this worse? No question, because he's not even playing. This is worse than the Ayuk deal and the Trent Williams deal. At least they're playing.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, Kobe went to Germany to get this treatment. Kobe also ruptured his Achilles. Kobe was not good after he ruptured his Achilles. So, I mean, Klay Thompson isn't the player he used to be after rupturing his Achilles. Those are basketball players. But Christian is not going to be the offensive player of the year if he ruptures his Achilles. This seems like he's definitely saving maybe not his career, but his status as an elite player. And I don't know that he ever will be again.
Iggy, I don't think he's going to play this season.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I mean, you say Lowell's negative, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to react to what's going on. The guy went to Germany. I mean, there's Stanford Hospital right up the street. He went to Germany. This is very bad. I don't think he's playing this season.
Agree. Michael McCann says, Grant, beating a dead horse here. I know you're not a Belichick fan as a coaching replacement, but Bill Belichick doesn't lose by getting out coached.
Okay.
Well, we'll see what happens with Kyle. If they miss the playoffs this year because of injuries and he gave all these extensions out to players who are old and injured, I wonder how his bosses will feel.
Yeah.
Okay, I got another question for you.
All right.
What do you think's going on with Brock Purdy's back? They say it's sore, but he also had an MRI.
That's another one. You know, and it's funny. You think of how people give news. Kyle gives news sort of by the way, as the a secondary clause in a sentence, a dependent clause. Oh, by the way, he has some soreness and he had an MRI. Excuse me. Everybody watching this show has had back soreness at one point or another. You don't sleep right. You bang your back. You don't get an MRI. You're like, you take a couple of Tylenol and next day you're okay. So all of a sudden, this kid needed an, oh, you know, Kyle, my back hurts a little bit. Oh, then you need an MRI, mm-hmm. as opposed to take extra strength Excedrin. So again, they say this stuff and it sounds benign, like no big deal. Then why did he need an MRI? What in the world is going on with your quarterback? And I don't have the answer, but there's a lot of gray area there for me and a big question mark. Why did he need an MRI?
I think the Niners have made it real clear they're only as forthcoming as they have to be with injuries. Right. So he had an MRI. It didn't reveal any structural damage that they had to report. So they can say it's soreness when it could be something else. But right. since it's not like a fracture or a tear, they can say, oh, technically it's falls under the umbrella of soreness.
Yeah. But they also said he's day to day.
Right. So that's really sore.
Iggy, what does day to day mean?
Day to day means that he may not practice or play this week or play this Sunday. Mm-hmm. They'll have to see it means that he's currently too sore to play football and that may change in the next few days.
Right.
Yeah.
So as of Monday, when he made the statement, the kid is too sore to be the quarterback on Sunday. That's right. What it means.
Yeah.
Now we don't know why he's too sore. Iggy, did he take a big hit in that game? I don't remember as well.
Not that I can remember. He had a couple quarterback sneaks, and those can be kind of violent. I know sometimes quarterbacks have gotten concussions in those plays. He scrambled around, dove. I guess he got hit a couple of times in the pocket. He's not the biggest guy. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He seemed fine in his post-game press conference. He was over there. He was talking. He was moving. He didn't seem like he was in pain, but sometimes it pops up the next day.
Right. So I want to make it clear. We're not blaming Kyle, and we're not blaming Brock. No blame here. We're just trying to understand. And I want to say something else. What we're doing, Grant and I, is we're asking a question. What is the meaning of McCaffrey going to Germany? What is the meaning of Purdy getting an MRI? We were English majors. He at UCLA, me at Lafayette College, and at Stanford as a graduate student. And what you ask when you read a novel, you look at a text, what does it mean? And when this character says such and such, why did he say it? And what did it mean? And what is he trying to get out of it? So what we're trying to do, for us, these are characters in a story. What does it mean that McCaffrey went there? What does it mean that the guy had an MRI? We don't know, but we are trained to ask questions like that. And it's important for journalists to ask questions.
Kyle is very careful with certain words. When he talks about a player returning, he'll either use the word expect or hope. And so sometimes the tone sounds so benign. Yeah, we hope he's going to practice on Wednesday. But you like come back and you transcribe it and you read it and he says, we hope that Brock's going to practice on Wednesday. That does not mean that Brock's going to practice on Wednesday. That might mean that he's not going to practice on Wednesday. I hope I win the lottery. I don't expect to.
Right. And it means that Kyle has no clue.
No clue. Or he has a clue and isn't telling us. Like he could have a clue that he's not going to practice Wednesday, and he could say like, well, there's no benefit to telling the world and the Patriots that's what's going to happen. So they'll find out when everyone else does, or he's going to practice. I mean, it's basically he told us nothing.
Right. I love it. And part of it is to get a message across to New England. They don't know who to prepare for.
Right. Right. So why don't we go right there? Let's say Brock Purdy doesn't play this week. Going against the Patriots, they're 1-2. Their quarterback is Jacoby Brissett. Their wide receivers are people you've never heard of. Do you think the Niners can beat the Patriots without Brock Purdy?
Okay, let's make it real clear. We're not saying Brock Purdy will miss that game. We're playing a game. He's day-to-day. What would happen if he couldn't play? It's an interesting question because, first of all, let's say the Patriots are really a bad club. They're one of the worst clubs in the league. And if this were Europe soccer, they'd get relegated. I mean, I think that's how bad they are. I don't think they're well coached. Jacoby Brissett, God love him, has been in the league for so long. But he's a C-minus, D-plus quarterback. I mean, he tries so hard and my heart goes out to him. They're really a bad club. The Niners, if they don't have Purdy, it's Brandon Allen.
Yes.
Okay, before we say could the Niners beat him without Purdy, let's talk about Allen. What does he bring to the table and what does he not bring to the table?
He has a nice arm. It might be stronger than Purdy's. I think it is stronger than Purdy's. He's 32. He's been on the team for a few years. He played for the Bengals before that, and they run a similar system. So he like has a mastery of the system that Kyle Shanahan likes, and he's aggressive throwing the ball. So he might be able to execute a lot of the throws that Brock can execute. He just isn't an athlete. He can't move. He's much more like Jimmy Garoppolo than Brock. He's slow-footed, and he's a sack waiting to happen, and he's probably a turnover waiting to happen. Under pressure.
So he's a significant downgrade from Purdy?
He's a significant downgrade. I'm still surprised that he's a second-string quarterback. He seems more like a third-stringer to me.
Okay. Having said that, I would be shocked if the Patriots beat the 49ers. I just think compared to New England, the 49ers are better coached, although we're going to get into a little of that later. They're better coached, but they're not great coached. And they, even with the injuries, they have so much talent on offense and defense. I just don't see them losing to the Patriots, especially at home. What do you think, Iggy?
They shouldn't lose to the Patriots. They should dominate the Patriots. They should destroy the Patriots. But they should have destroyed the Rams last week. It seemed like they thought they should have destroyed the Rams last week. They went up 14-0 early. That game could have got out of hand, and then they just messed around. So I don't know. I mean, this—I don't think the Niners are good enough right now to say that they're just going to take care of business. We got to see them do it. And the thing that's interesting about the Patriots, they have a really good defense. Rams had the worst defense in the league, and Brock did really well. But Kyler did even better the week before. Like, they were supposed to do well against that defense. This is a good defense that they're facing, kind of like what the Vikings have. How are the Niners going to do against this? And it's a different test. We'll see. And the other thing is, we're going to talk about their defense a little bit later, but their defense is currently awful. And the Patriots may not be able to throw, but they can run the ball. They have two good running backs. Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson are both good. Both good.
Iggy, let's pretend for a moment that I'm still a columnist writing, although I've been retired now 7 years, and you are writing columns. Let's say the Niners beat the Patriots on Sunday and you're in the press box. You're not broadcasting. You're writing a column. What would you say about them beating the Patriots? Would you write that the Niners are back?
No, I don't. That would be irresponsible. A win is a win. They get full credit. They needed it. A loss would have been catastrophic. They took care of business. But let's see if they can make it a trend. Or are they going to be the team that wins a couple, loses a couple? Because that's what the 2014 Niners were in Harbaugh's last year. You could kind of feel it when a coach is losing his team. He can't really get it going for long stretches. They have moments. And then they have moments where they lose to teams that are embarrassing. Like, can you remember the last time the Niners lost a game like this to a team they're supposed to dominate? I mean, not that we're not going to talk much about the game from Sunday, but they were missing Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Like, that's like losing to, they lost to one of the worst teams in the league.
And Iggy, the Niners were up by 10 points with about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, I mean, 6:18 left. They were up by 10. 18.
Yeah, I mean, they really blew it. So you wouldn't, if they were to beat the Patriots, you wouldn't write, oh, it's great. They've now established themselves. You'd say they took care of business. Congratulations. Where do you go now?
The Patriots are one of the worst teams in the league. And the only reason we're saying this is a game is because the Niners just lost to one of the worst teams in the league. So beating them is like good.
What if, God forbid, and I say this because I don't think it's going to happen. What if, God forbid, they lose to the Patriots? What would you write then?
Kyle Shanahan's losing his team. That this team is going down. This is a team that's looking like they're going to miss the playoffs. It looks like they've tuned out their head coach. That's something they need drastic changes with this team. If they lose to the Patriots at home, three straight, yeah. Because the schedule's only going to get worse. They might be able to pull out of it, but if they lose this game, I'm starting to think that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Okay. But again, I don't think they're going to lose this game. I'm just going over all the hypotheticals we would do in an English class.
What would you say?
Okay, if they were to lose this game, I would have to question the coach getting ready, getting his team ready. I would have to wonder if the team is still listening to him. And I would have to say that I would write that the chances of them making the playoffs have really diminished, that it's not just a loss. It's a catastrophe. That's what I would have to write.
Yeah. And we don't know if they lose or how they lose, but if it's about their defense again, then this decision to fire Steve Wilks, to scapegoat Steve Wilks and go to Nick Sorensen, who's never been a coordinator before, would look like an emotional mistake that they made right after losing a big game. That could really cost them.
Yeah.
Tia Ingram says Kobe's was also past 30 and won 5 rings. Frederick Peterson says he's going for stem cell treatments, maybe. Too much sauce.
Hold on. Wouldn't you assume that Stanford could do stem cell treatments?
Maybe there's fewer restrictions.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Germans, they always have their own thing going on over there. Too much sauce says, what is the true market value, money salary they actually deserve this season of the following players? Bosa, Ayuk, Trent Williams, Juwan Jennings. Boy, that's a tough one.
The one you put there, in terms of value to the team right now,
yeah,
I'd put Williams first, Juwan Jennings second, Bosa third, Ayuk fourth.
Yeah, I would have to say so. Yep. Fish and Chip says Kyle Shanahan is just an illusion, smoke and mirrors.
I've thought that for a long time.
Yeah. Nick R says, been a while since I made a live with my favorite duo. Always appreciate your candor. P.S. Lowell is the man.
I used to be the man. Now I'm an old guy.
All right. Let's make some sleeper picks and see what we think the Niners are going to do this week. Hold on. Let me get the little thing. Put it the thing. All right. Okay. We'll do the other thing. Boom. There we are. So they're playing the Patriots.
Boy.
Playing the Patriots. Juwan Jennings, do you think he'll score a touchdown in this game?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Ayuk, will he score a touchdown in this game?
No.
No. Juszczyk, will he score a touchdown in this game?
No.
Garendo, will Isaac Garendo score a touchdown in this game?
Garendo.
No. How about Jordan Mason?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, those are what we got for the Niners.
I love Jordan Mason. God, I love how he plays.
What do you like about him?
Iggy, he is such a hard runner, and yeah, he's a very intelligent runner. Yeah. He's like McCaffrey. Once he gets into the chaos of the line of scrimmage, he sees the way through the way McCaffrey does. He is a beautiful running back, and I hope they don't get him murdered. I hope they get somebody that can spell him. They're using him a lot.
Garendo, no pressure.
Well, those are the maybe, picks. Okay.
Those are my picks. I'm going to max them. I got to make some picks from the Patriots. Okay. Jacoby Brissett, 162.5 passing yards, more or less, against the Niners defense.
I'm not talking about the Niners defense. I just think he's way past what he can do. I won't give him that credit. No.
He threw for 98 yards last week against the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yikes.
I like Jacoby. Him. I want him to, but I can't say it.
I want him to.
I'm rooting for him.
All right. Those are the picks. Made the entry. Cool. As you can see on the screen, I'm giving away 2 tickets to the Cowboys game, week 8. They're midfield, 4th deck. It's nighttime, so you won't burn. You want the tickets, download the Sleeper app, use promo code CONE. And then instantly entered. And then also, I'm giving away this Ricky Pearsall jersey over there. You're entered for that if you use promo. Just download the app, use the promo code, and good things will happen to you and your family, most likely. Okay, Dante Whitner is a very interesting analyst. He works for NBC. After the game, he was candid. They asked him, what's wrong with this defense? And he said, it's code red. They don't do anything well. How big of an issue is this defense right now?
Well, I got 2 things that trouble me about them. They can't stop the run, Iggy. I mean, mediocre running backs look like Jim Brown against them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the new defense coordinator, if he is even, who knows how that works? Sorensen? Is that his name?
Sorensen, yeah. Sorensen.
Sorensen. Iggy, he seems through 3 games over his head, in over his head. Would you agree with my 2 statements?
I would agree with your 2 statements. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
What else don't they do well as a defense?
I mean, the secondary was so good last year under Steve Wilks. It's not so good anymore. Charvarius Ward gave up a touchdown catch week two and then a 50-yard catch last week. The rookie and safety, Jair Brown, was better last year than this year. The pass rush isn't really doing much. And what's troubling about the pass rush, they're not getting a lot of pressure, and they're not blitzing. Usually, like, you rush four if you can create pressure with four, but if you can't, you rush five. And if you can't get pressure with five, you rush six, because you can't let the quarterback just stand there. And they're currently letting the quarterback just stand there, which is why freaking Sam Darnold threw a 97-yard touchdown pass from his end zone. I mean, this is the idea that they would call that pass, a slow-developing play-action pass in the end zone. Usually, if you're afraid of a pass rush, you wouldn't call that because you're thinking safety. But against the Niners, they're thinking touchdown, and it was. That's a problem.
Really, and Matthew Stafford doesn't move all that well. He wasn't under duress in that game.
No.
He was like a guy at the beach looking at the waves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Waving at the waves.
He was waving at the waves.
And now Hargraves is down, who wasn't particularly great, but now it's his backup is playing.
Who's his backup?
Jordan Elliott, who's a guy who's been on the team for 3 weeks.
Oh.
Three games.
Okay.
Yeah. Dad, how good of a week do you think Steve Wilks is having right now?
Well, bittersweet. He's still, they got rid of him, and he's probably bitter. On the other hand, he sees what a mess this defense is, and he sees that the secondary it has declined a little bit. I mean, Ward, Iggy, is a hell of a player, right?
Yeah.
So for him to get, it's not like he's not a good player.
No, he's a hell of a player.
He's a hell of a player. So there's something wrong there. Mm-hmm. And I think Wilks must be looking at it and thinking, Kyle doesn't know his ass from his elbow.
Yeah. And Wilks is probably thinking, man, these guys ruined my career. I'm never going to be in the NFL again. Now it's like, wait a second. My stock is back up. Look what happens when I leave this team. All of a sudden, their defense falls apart. Maybe I am valuable in the NFL.
I sure think he is, and I sure hope he is.
Yeah, me too. Luis Madera says, if the Niners lose to New England, the season is over. But what do I know? I live in San Jose where they still wear affliction shirts. My dad has no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know
what
that means.
But they do. And it's strange. Michael McCann says Bill could beat the Patriots with the Niners backups.
Yep, he could.
You asked earlier, why did he have to go to Germany for this? He's getting a PRP injection, which is a platelet-rich plasma injection, and it's not FDA approved in America.
Okay. Well, fine. Now that explains it. But let me say this. It shows how desperate he is, Iggy.
Yeah.
It's a move of desperation.
It's absolutely a move of desperation. Joseph Farrell says, couldn't overload of injuries be enough to forget the executioner's shortcomings? Is there enough introspection to go around in this group of egoists, or has Kyle removed any need to take ownership?
Will
all these injuries prevent the Niners from actually doing introspection about why they didn't win the Super Bowl this year?
Right. I want to be real clear on this. One way to look at it is, you can't really judge Kyle. So many people got hurt. It's not his fault. If, as a result of all these injuries, they don't make the playoffs, if I'm the owner, I fire him. It's not even close. Look, preseason is to get your players ready. Part of getting them ready is football ready so they don't all go down. He didn't play his elite players very much. He didn't. They came out for the season demonstrably unprepared. Well, that's on the coach. That's on the coach. And how many excuses does this guy have? How many excuses do you have to give him? This is his eighth season. If he doesn't make the playoffs, he's 0-8. They fired George Seifert after eight seasons, and he had won two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the 49ers standard. Not, oh, God, maybe we ought to give him another chance. You know?
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
He tried. It's true he didn't go to the hospital after Pearsall got shot, but he had a party. But, he had obligations to the team because he had a party. I mean, how many really crummy things does this guy get away with? I would have fired him already because he hasn't produced.
Not to mention his display at the Super Bowl the week of.
Yeah, well, also, and after the game, when he pretended he knew the overtime rules and he didn't, and he didn't know those rules, that's a firing offense right there. So
when
I'm
he partied with Lil Wayne and the team after the first Super Bowl loss.
Yeah, I mean, who is this guy? Yeah. So I would have fired him already. Who is this guy? I would have fired him already, but if he doesn't make the playoffs, you know, Kyle, you one thing you're great at is excuses. We need to go we need to go in another direction.
Also, here's how I feel about Kyle. He's a good coach for a team that doesn't have a good quarterback because run-first coach. Huh?
He has an excellent quarterback, Iggy.
But what I'm saying is, like, he's valuable for a team that doesn't have a good quarterback.
Okay, I got confused.
He'll get the run game going. He'll get the play-action passing going. And he'll make someone like Jimmy Garoppolo look good. But once you have a really good quarterback, what you need is the ability to just drop back and throw sometimes, or a lot of times. And that's not what he does well, because he doesn't even let the quarterback audible at the line of scrimmage, call plays at the line of scrimmage, set protections. Like, you're just an extension of Kyle. And I think that's good for quarterbacks who need training wheels, but I don't think it's good for quarterbacks like Peyton Manning Tom Brady would never want Kyle Shanahan looking over his shoulder telling him what to do like that. And if Brock Purdy is truly elite and is starting to look like he could be, then I think he might do better with a different kind of coach.
Iggy, I think that treatment hurt Garoppolo.
Yeah. Like, look at Jared Goff in Detroit. He's not the greatest quarterback, but that coach does a really good job with him, and it's not all play action. So that guy's interesting to me. The offensive coordinator with Detroit, Washington wanted him this year. He ended up saying, no, I don't want my first job to be with that franchise. If Kyle misses the playoffs this year and Detroit has a really nice run, I'd look at that guy, Ben Johnson. He's like 38. He got his start with Joe Philbin, who got his start with Mike Sherman, who got his start with Mike Holmgren. So he's kind of a offshoot of the West Coast offense.
I would also say, again, you may disagree with this. I think NFL defenses are beginning to figure out Kyle, or maybe already have figured him out. What do you think?
I do. I think it's understood. Like, if you have to stop his run game, you have to make him one-dimensional. If he can run the ball and do play action, he's tough. But if you can stop the run and you can put 5-6 guys in the line of scrimmage, he won't even try to run. He won't even try to do play action. He'll go to shotgun, spread formations, and that's the worst part of his playbook, and that's where you want him to live. The Chiefs did it in the Super Bowl. The Vikings did it a couple of weeks ago. Load up the line of scrimmage. You don't even have to blitz every time, but make him think that you're going to blitz every time. Show the possibility of pressure, and he'll crumble. 17 points, 19 points.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And what's funny is he doesn't understand it. His scheme on defense is the outdated Pete Carroll stuff that the Seahawks don't even run anymore. Like, Kevin O'Connell runs the Kubiak-Shanahan. Everyone runs the Kubiak-Shanahan offense. Kevin O'Connell on the Vikings runs it. But he's smart enough to understand what beats it, and that's why he has Brian Flores as his defensive coordinator. Fish and chips as a surfboard would do a better job at D-coordinator than Nick Sorensen. The Romilia Sports Report says, props Papa Cone, only fitting on Sean McVay bobblehead day. McVay outcoached Kyle and got the win. Rams going for third straight over Santa Clara December 12th.
I would have to say that McVay really did outcoach Kyle. In fact, he coached his tush off with that fake punt and a lot of things he did. McVay was coaching for his team's season.
Mm-hmm. And he had his team playing like it. And Kyle tried to tell his team, look, the Rams are going to be really hyped up. They're not going to want to go to 0-3. They're going to get their best shot. And they didn't listen.
No,
they didn't play that hard.
No. And you know, it's interesting about Bosa, Iggy. He's very good at what he does. But could I say this? I mean, he gets paid a lot of money for like one or two sacks a game. In a sense, he's kind of a one-dimensional player. He has this one thing he does. Is he good against the run?
No, he's not. And he's not even that good of a pass rusher anymore. He'll get the one sack, but he's not getting consistent pressure like he used to. He's not. So.
That's another contract.
Yeah. You're paying him $34 million a year. That's more than Baker Mayfield gets. That's more than a lot of quarterbacks get. And he's currently on one of the worst defenses in the league. Like, where's the impact?
Yeah.
Fish and Chip says, are we at the start of Kyle Shanahan injuring another quarterback?
Oh, I would never be surprised at that. I mean, I think he's a specialist at that.
Okay. Let's talk about more Kyle Shanahan decisions. Ronnie Bell played a lot on Sunday. We haven't talked about this game, but he played 30 snaps, like 42% of the offensive snaps. Debo is out. Dropped a pass early in the game, short one. Kyle Shanahan, undeterred, went back to him late. Deep throw, dropped it again. That one would have put the game away, would have put the Niners in field goal range with a few seconds left. They ended up losing. Afterward, people were asking him, like, hey, you know, what about that promising rookie who looked so good in preseason, Jacob Cowing? And John Lynch even said on the radio a couple days before the game, like, look for Jacob Cowing to get some opportunities in this game. Lynch thought he was going to get in. Didn't. Got zero snaps on offense. And then yesterday on the conference call, Kyle Shanahan was asked about him. And he said, yeah, he's just not ready. He's not on that level yet. He has to earn it. This is the same guy who thought Jordan Mason wasn't ready, who thought Juwan Jennings was a part-time player, who thought Brock Purdy was the third best quarterback on his roster. What do you think of Kyle Shanahan's latest personnel judgment?
I want to break it up into two parts. him and Shannon and Lynch, and then what I think of his judgment. Don't he and Lynch talk? I mean, I don't think their offices are that far apart. They're right on the second floor over there. One corner is there and one corner is the other one. The one guy is saying, look for Cowing. He's going to play. And then the coach doesn't play him. I mean, don't they meet in the middle and have a Coke? So it makes you wonder what happens on the very quiet second. You know how quiet it is up there, Riggy, because everybody's working so hard. What happens on that quiet second floor? Does Shanahan even talk to his general manager? I find that very surprising and very troubling. I also find it troubling that Lynch would go out and make this statement without having checked with the coach. So it seems like there's a cliche, a lack of communication up there. That's not good. Now, these decisions by Kyle, he seems not to understand who his best players are. He didn't understand for years, how good Jennings is. Bill would have understood. And he has in his mind, he has a list. Number one, number two, number three. Remember, you asked him last year, why doesn't Mason play more, Jordan Mason? He said, because he's the number three. Like, that was Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments, and the third was, don't play Jordan Mason. What do you mean he's number three? The other guy always got hurt, Elijah Mitchell. And I think right now Jordan Mason is better than Mitchell was when he was healthy, but he's never healthy anyway. Right. So he gives these edicts like he's number three, or like Ronnie Bell should play. Ronnie Bell was a late seventh round draft pick, right, Iggy?
Correct.
If I were the coach, once he dropped the first pass, and listen, he didn't just drop those passes, Iggy. Those were good passes. Mm-hmm. He looked astonished when the ball came to him. Like, oh.
I was astonished.
See ball, catch ball, drop ball. He didn't know what to do. After the first one, you put in Cowing, because it's not that he hasn't earned it. It's let him earn it on the field. Yeah. The other guy didn't earn it.
You don't earn it in the meeting room or on the practice field. It's actually, does it translate to the game? It doesn't for Ronnie.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I feel that we were so good. Oh, Kyle is so creative and he thinks out of the box. Not when it comes to his roster, not when it comes to personnel. He's very rigid, opinionated, and he is not flexible.
No. And I feel like there's weird motivations going on here. Let's go back to the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan disconnect. Why would John Lynch be eager to see Jacob Cowing on the field? He drafted him. That was his pick. Kyle wanted Ricky Pearsall, who may end up being really good, but oftentimes when the Niners take two players at the same position, the first one is Kyle's pick, the second one is the front office's pick. So this is a great time for John Lynch's stock to go up. I picked this guy, end of round four, look at how good he is. If he ends up being really good, then that's another thing that makes Kyle look bad for giving Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year at the last minute. I mean, you had another good young receiver on the team. So it's funny, he didn't give Cowing that opportunity to show that the Niners really didn't need to be spending all this money on wide receivers, but Jennings shows it.
Right, Jennings shows it.
Yeah,
and he didn't know what he had in Jennings. He didn't know what he had in Brock Purdy. He was, Trey Lance didn't work out. Jimmy got hurt. He said, oh, there's this guy who stands around here. We got no choice. Let's put him in. Oh, it turns out he was David who could kill Goliath. He didn't know.
Didn't know.
He doesn't. I'm sorry. It seems like we're going after the coach again. I honestly think he doesn't understand his personnel the way at the level he should. What he understands is his play sheet. Look at him on the sideline. He's just his face. The play sheet is part of his face. It's like his face is glued to the play sheet. He looks at the play sheet more than he looks at the field. Yeah. He understands his plays. He doesn't understand players.
And it's like, so he's supposed to, okay, so he doesn't understand his players. He's supposed to be this, like, you know, savant with play diagrams. How many of his plays this season through three games have you said, wow, I was really creative?
Not like Darnold's pass.
Nah, in the past, the Niners would have moments you're like, that was really creative. But I mean, they had some serious assistant coaches on their team who are gone now. And I feel like it's kind of revealed that he himself is not that creative. And they talk about him being a genius. I don't think he's that smart, unfortunately.
on Sunday against the Rams, I wasn't impressed by him, but I was impressed by Purdy. He kept plays alive. He was really hard to tackle, and he made beautiful throws running around like young Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He was wonderful. I thought on Sunday he saved Shanahan to the extent that you could get saved in a loss more than Shanahan saved him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, bringing it back to the beginning of this topic, if Kyle could consistently play his best players, you wonder, like, would he have won those Super Bowls? Like, if Juwan Jennings had been featured the way he should have been, would they have beaten the Chiefs? If Jordan Mason had been used the way he should have been the last year or two, would Christian McCaffrey have this Achilles issue? Or would he have been preserved? Like, there's an on and on and on. Like, this is on Kyle. There are consequences to not playing your best players.
Yeah.
They would have won. Again, would they have won last week if they had played Jacob Cowing over Ronnie Bell? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I do think the point you make about Mason and McCaffrey is really poignant. Mason is as good a runner, not a pass catcher, as good a runner, and maybe a more violent runner than CMC. If he had played 35% of the snaps, maybe the kid wouldn't be in Germany right now.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, they say stuff like, well, we couldn't put him on the field. He wasn't ready. Yeah, but if McCaffrey and Mitchell had gone down last year like they went down this year, then Mason would have been ready, right? You would have played him. You would have found a way to make it work out of necessity. So make it work. That's your coach. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Coach is supposed to understand his personnel and use them in the optimal way. That's what a coach does.
Yeah, you don't get extra points as a coach for making your offense so hard to understand that it takes 3 years to get on the field. That's not good. Michael McCann says, Kylan Lynch may not be the biggest problem with this team. The mistakes they were allowed to make with no consequences led to this. That's on Jed.
Well, I think it's a group effort.
Or it's the parents, too. We don't know how much power Jed has anymore. Okay. So people like to talk about vibes these days. Vibes around the team, the feelings, the atmosphere. Vibes, that's what a vibe is, a feeling, an atmosphere. What about an omen? An omen is a sign of something to come later. An omen is much more powerful, and it often isn't good. Are there omens with this team?
Yes. Here's what I want to say. They've only played three games, but three games is a lot in a 17-game schedule. And the omens are not good, although they have a lot of football to play. Omens that you really bad things that you don't want to happen. Your left tackle and your supposedly best wide receiver don't even come to training camp and sign right before the regular season. And at least in the case of the wide receiver is not quite football ready. That's a bad omen. Your running back has to end up in Germany because you signed him for big bucks when he was hurt. And now it turns out he's really hurt and he may not even play the whole season. That's a bad omen. Other bad omens, Iggy. Kittle is hurt. The quarterback is hurt. Debo Samuel is hurt.
The first-round pick got shot in the chest.
Yeah, that's a very bad omen. And again, I'm not blaming anybody, but these are bad omens. And you think, boy, it's hard to start a season this way and get right. Now, they may. I'm not saying they can't, but I'm saying this is one of the gloomiest beginnings to a season. Even though other seasons they started with losing records, this is one of the most gloomy and omen-full beginning of the seasons I've seen with this coach and his group.
And it's funny that the first bad omen, which I guess shouldn't be a bad omen, but it is in the history of the NFL, is just losing the Super Bowl. Losing the Super Bowl is like, for whatever reason, the Super Bowl hangover is a thing and you rarely win the Super Bowl. Like, it just doesn't happen that you come back and you're better after losing the Super Bowl. So that was the first one. You're wondering, is this going to carry over? Yeah, absolutely it has. It continues to.
Yeah, and the reason what is the hangover? We look for the meaning. The hangover is you gave it everything you had. You did, and it wasn't good enough, even though you were better than the other team. Mm-hmm. You were better. And you, even with that, it wasn't enough. And if we were better, how come the coach couldn't get us across the finish line first? Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder about the coach. It makes not me wonder. It makes the players wonder about the coach. How invested are they now in what he preaches and teaches? Because it didn't work and has never worked.
Okay, I got another one. How about good omens? Are there any?
Juwan Jennings is a good omen.
Yeah, hell yeah. Every time someone goes down, the 49ers get pull a rabbit out of their freaking hat. Juwan Jennings happens to be one of the best wide receivers in the league. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, who the hell knew?
Who the hell knew?
Right. And the reason no one knew is because of Kyle suppressed him.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'd say that's really, really good. I'm struggling here because on defense.
How about Brock Purdy playing well despite all these injuries around him on offense? That's right. A good omen. Not just for this year, but for the future.
And if he's not seriously injured, and again, we don't know where he's at. He had an MRI, but let's assume he's okay. Iggy, he's a gorgeous quarterback. I love everything about him. So he is, look, I'm going to say something else. In football, everyone's career ends with a particular team at one time or another. I would predict that Purdy will be with this team longer than Kyle Shanahan. He is more important to the 49ers than Kyle Shanahan, and I think ownership will come to understand that.
Sorry, I was just deleting a comment. I agree. Those are the two good omens. I mean, Juwan Jennings doing that, Brock Purdy stepping up. Those are guys are going to be on this team for a long time, you would think. Both of them.
Yeah. Any other good omens?
Not on defense, not on special teams.
Oh, the special.
Are the Patriots a good omen? Just the fact that they're coming to town?
That's an opportunity. That's not a good omen. That's an opportunity, right?
That's true. That's true.
I don't think anyone could accuse the Niners of looking past the Patriots. They need the Patriots. They really need the Patriots. And even if they win, Iggy, they're still just a 500 team.
It's true. They look past the Rams.
Okay, you could say that. I think the Rams were certainly more up for the game than the 49ers were. They were playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they were playing for their season.
That's what I'm talking about. And I think the Vikings were more up for the game than the Niners were. Niners were really up for week one. They were.
And Salah did not have his team ready.
Uh-uh. Niners looked great week one. They outplayed the Jets. They were better than the Jets. They outcoached the Jets. And then what? They took that was it. They proved themselves. They took the foot off the gas after one game. Not great.
I don't think they took their foot off the gas. I think at this stage you're just not that good. They don't have that much gas.
You say they're not cooking with gas at this point?
They're not cooking with gas. And in Berkeley, you're not supposed to cook with gas.
Isn't it interesting how quickly a team can go from like great to like, oh my God, they're old?
Yeah. Oh my God, they're old. And I do want to say, I don't know what the Vikings season is going to be like, and I don't know what's going to happen with Sam Darnold because apparently he's hurt too. But right now, the Vikings are a better team than the 49ers and better coached.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Lions are a better team than the Niners and better coached. I mean, we're going to see. The Cardinals may be better. Like, the Cardinals were more impressive against the Rams than the Niners were. Offense and defense. The Cardinals held the Rams like 3 points for most of that game, right?
That's right. They got... They had 3 points, the Rams, and then late in the third quarter, they got a touchdown. They finally scored 10, but the Cardinals killed them. Killed them.
Like, remember last week on the show, we ranked the teams in the NFC West?
Yeah.
The Niners might be the worst team in the NFC West.
Wow. It's certainly, you can make a case that they are. They have the same record as the Cardinals and the Rams. They're all 1-2. Ain't so hotsy-totsy. And Seattle, again, I don't really like Geno Smith. But he's certainly defense doing enough, and the defense is good. Yeah.
They don't have an outdated defense over there. They have a cutting-edge defense. Somehow the Niners are outdated schematically on defense. That's incredible.
Iggy, should we talk about the Niners' defense a little?
We should talk about the Niners' defense. We did talk about the Code Red, but we could talk more.
I mean, what do you think of Sorensen?
I think he's in over his head. I don't understand why. They interviewed him for the position last year, felt he wasn't ready, and went outside of the organization, brought in Steve Wilks. Then you fire Wilks and go back. Like, it seems like they have no convictions, that they're grasping what they didn't think would work last year, they think is going to work this year. They were right the first time. He wasn't ready. And all the only reason you have him here is because you like a certain scheme that he's been exposed to when the rest of the league is like, you know what, that scheme is overrated. And it's like, even Kyle, he says he likes it, but when he faces it, he destroys it. So what do you like about it? You don't do so well when you face Spagnuolo or Schwartz or Flores. So why don't you bring in something like that? Because that gives you actual problems. Problem. And I don't think Brandon Staley's the answer.
I don't know what he does, Iggy. Brandon Staley.
Good question.
Iggy,
I have something to bring up.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
There's a lot of Brandons on the team.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
We got three Brandons.
Okay. Name the Brandons.
Brandon Allen, Brandon Ayuk, Brandon Staley. Also, three Jakes. Jake Brendel, Jake Moody, Jake Cowing, who goes by Jacob now, but we're going to call him Jake.
Okay, for now, Iggy, on. Who brings more to the team right now, the Brandons or the Jakes?
I'm going to give the nod to the Jakes. I mean, Brandon Staley, we don't know what you do. Brandon Allen, we'll see. And then Brandon Ayuk, my goodness.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Team Jakes.
I'm Team Jake.
Team Jake.
Yeah. Now, they're suppressing Jacob Cowing, which is unfair, but once he gets his opportunity, he'll win it for us.
Yeah.
Also, Jacob is an Old Testament name. We got to give the nod to the Old Testament. So it's what a testament it was. And it continues to be.
Jacob in the Hebrew Bible, he was serious.
He didn't take shit.
No. Absolutely not.
Brandon? Was Brandon in the Hebrew Bible? Couldn't tell you.
No. I never heard of a Brandon.
Never heard of a Brandon.
I never heard of a Brandon.
No. You ever met a Jewish Brandon?
No, but you know.
But you never met a Jewish Lowell either.
That's what I'm saying. I can't put down a sort of Goyish names because I'm Lowell, you're Grant, and your first cousin is Scott.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got a lot of those names circulating in the Cohen family.
Circulating. So Grant isn't a Jewish name? It's not. There wasn't Moses, Grant.
There was. In fact, one of the suppressed books of the Hebrew Bible that knows about is the Book of Grant. The Book of Grant.
He was a real prick. No one liked him.
I think we're getting silly now. So the defense sucks, and I got nothing more.
But they got Brandons and Jake, so you never know.
That's right. I think they should sacrifice a Brandon. Oh. I don't mean a human sacrifice. I don't mean that. I think they should trade
a Brandon to get another Jake.
That's what I'm saying. I think they need to trade a Brandon. When I meant sacrifice, I didn't mean a human sacrifice, but trade a Brandon for a Jake, and I think that would help.
That's sensible. Corey Soto says, I'd say after one average and one bad game this season, Purdy is a provisional omen. Rams defense sucks. Ask again after the upcoming gauntlet. Yeah, let's see how Purdy does against a good defense. It'll be interesting this week.
Yeah.
Another test. Yeah. Joseph for real says, consciousness creates matter. Language creates reality. Ritual creates relationships. Kyle's language for young players is despicable.
God, I have to think about that all day long today. That was so smart.
Let's read it again. Consciousness creates matter. Language creates reality. Ritual creates relationships. Kyle's language for young players is despicable. I'm not sure I get it, but I love it.
But let me ask you a question, Joseph. Does that mean there is no matter without consciousness? Like, meaning like if you're not there and the tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sound. I understand that. And you need consciousness to be aware of matter. Matter does not exist on its own. Wow, I got to think about that. Thanks a lot.
Well, how do we really know that anything exists? What do we have, five senses? Kind of.
Yeah, we don't know. Right, we don't know. In fact, we don't know if the show exists. This could be all a dream of mine that you're my son and I'm talking to you right now on a computer, which could also be a dream of mine.
Or it could be my dream.
It's my dream.
Jared Owen says, love when your dad's on. He always talks me back from the ledge with my fandom. How long do they give the right tackle before replacing him? We didn't mention Colton McKivitz.
Oh, they'll probably sign him again and give him a signing bonus.
They gave him an extension a few months ago.
Yeah, they love to have a bad offensive line. That's part of what Kyle wants. So what do I need an offensive line for? Let him run around a little in the backfield. If he gets hit, it's his fault. That's how he thinks. Hey, just run around a while. You'll be okay.
That's 100% how he thinks.
Yeah, we run around.
You've never met him, but you get him.
Oh, yeah. So get the ball. If there's nothing happen, run around.
No, it's not run around. It's not that. It's get the ball out of your hands. There are answers in the scheme. The scheme is correct. If you can't get the ball out, that's on you. If I were playing quarterback, I would have thrown the ball quicker.
And McKivitz wouldn't even be a factor, right?
No, we don't need offensive tackles. You forgot Jake Tonjes. Oh, my God. There's a fourth Jake.
Well, the Jakes by acclamation.
Jake Tonjes. Holy shit. You know why they put him on the team? They said, you know what? It's kind of even between him and Braden Willis. But we kind of like Jake's more than Braden's. Like, if Willis was Brandon Willis, they might have went with Willis. But since his name was Braden, they had to go with Jake. You see what I'm saying?
Does this Jake Tonjes, does he play in the games?
Yeah, he did. Okay, so he was on special teams when they gave up that 37-yard. He was the guy who fucked up. Sorry, excuse my French. Pardon my French.
I'm telling him not to curse.
But he's the guy who messed up. He's the guy who messed up.
Oh, Jake.
Jake, you're letting down Jakes all over the world.
Oh, Jake. Okay.
Was Jacob the one who stole his brother's birthright?
Oh, boy. Absolutely.
And was Jake the one who wrestled with the angel of God?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is Jake the one who was named Israel?
Yes.
Well, then, what
How
a name.
How do you know?
Because I'm Jewish, school. Man. I had a bar mitzvah. I learned all of that shit. I'm sorry. That's the show. Thanks for watching. This is the Cone Zone. Grant Cone, Lowell Cone. Couple of Love Jews. You. What do you want?
Love you, Iggy.
Love you, Dad. See you guys.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.